Generation X, laughing at the world today. We're getting older, but we're still gonna play.
Opening the show this week with a guest. We haven't had a guest in a while. When was our last guest?
Sean Revivi?
Yeah. Wow. So it's been a couple of months. We have a guest and it's Christmas themed. So that's great because it's December and all. And our guest, of course, is Casper Kelly. You know his work, Squid Billies, Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell, Too Many Cooks, which...
Yeah.
There might be some news about that we'll talk to him about. And, of course, Yule Log, which was the hit holiday. I can't even describe it. It was so much fun. I have yet a chance to watch the new one, Yule Log 2, but I plan on watching it this weekend because I'm going to have some free time. I was going to watch it this week, but, you know, life hands you lemons or pinworms or anal fissures or all sorts of things. You just have to make lemonade from the anal fissures.
That's gross.
Who says that?
What kind of stupid, sick, twisted logic?
It's great. Now you all have pinworms.
I don't have any pinworms. Okay, Gene probably gave me worms.
Yeah, so the other night, my son, it was Sunday night, he just starts digging at his behind, going, my butt itches, my butt itches, my butt itches. He couldn't go to sleep, and then it got even worse Monday. But, you know, the doctor recommended Vaseline. And, of course, he sees that big honking thing of Vaseline, that tub. He's like, I don't want that. I want butt paste. All right, turn around. He's like checking and spying. So I just took a scoop of Vaseline out, and I got the butt paste tube. And I'm like, look, I'm putting it on my finger, okay? And he goes, okay. And he turned around, and it was the Vaseline. And I go, how's that feel? He goes, that's good. All right. Problem
solved. Poor guy.
We all had to take the pinworm medicine.
The procedure for diagnosing pinworms is to wait until the subject is asleep and the worms crawl out of the rectum for air. Yes, just like that.
I'm going to go throw up now.
Yeah, no, just... pinworms are contagious as
Yes. And so everybody in the house had to take them. Okay. All right, more pinworm talk later.
How are y'all doing?
Good.
How are you doing?
We're doing great.
Happy holidays.
Thank you. Same to you.
Yeah, we haven't seen you since our beer tap place, whatever.
That's right. No, we need to do that again.
Yes.
Yeah, let's do it again.
Well, we are talking tonight about Yule Log 2. And I was explaining to everyone before you came on, I was going to watch it Monday night and I wasn't able to. I plan on watching it because I love Yule Log so much. I was trying to describe it too. Christmassy, but very horror-y. I don't know.
The original Yule Log just got a physical media release, right?
Oh, yeah. Adult Swim Yule Log got released on Blu-ray by Vinegar Syndrome, and there's a bunch of commentary, and there's a collector's version with a slipcover that's about to sell out, and then a regular version without the slipcover. And, yeah, I'm very proud of it and excited.
So awesome that they gave it the Blu-ray treatment that you could actually have a physical thing in your hand to hold.
Yeah, it's a good feeling. Yes, in these uncertain times where things can go away at any minute. Yeah.
I loved how this one opened up, and poor Zoe. I mean, my God, this poor woman, what she's been through, this assault by these logs. Or this one particular log. But I loved the opening in the police station. That whole scene between the log and the cop, I was dying. I was laughing my ass off.
When the cop grabbed that chainsaw, and that was like, I won't spoil it, but that was a hilarious scene.
The fentanyl, that's what got me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm glad you guys liked that. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I was real, real happy with that scene. And they really blew it out on that location, too, building that set.
This time, you're not dealing with COVID restrictions, so it's a lot easier to shoot.
No, because this movie is a lot bigger. It has more locations, more actors, bigger in every way, except for budget. So we had to be even more creative and had to use more favors. But we did do some, thanks to the producers, there were some very, and location people, there were some very smart things that happened. For example, the police headquarters, which you mentioned, the hospital room, and the offices were all shot in the Adult Swim building, a free location.
Oh.
I thought they did a really great job of decorating it. Yeah, and then the town stuff we shot in Cartersville, Georgia, and they were just wonderful. We loved it up there.
I was going to say Dahlonega, but yeah, okay. That makes total sense.
And we were Stephanie, we were doing a location scout there because the location scout Tyler had really good luck with Cartersville. And we were looking for a storefront that might be good for a Christmas ornament store, which is part of the story. Spoiler, Tim.
That's okay.
And then we walked across and just saw a literal Christmas ornament store that already existed in the town. We're like, well, this is perfect. So, yeah, that worked out very well. And, you know, like, there's another spoiler, but there's a part in a fire department, and they were cool and just like, yeah, come on over and shoot it.
That's cool when they're chill about that stuff. It's weird, you know, I just went to Google and typed in Yule Log 2 cast, and it said Michael Reagan is in it, and I don't recall him being in any of your stuff.
Michael Reagan is in the first one.
Okay, I didn't know that. I didn't put that together. I don't
remember. You might need to do Adult Swim Yule Log. That's the official name. Yeah. Okay. Differentiate it a little more.
And it's branching out.
Yeah, branching out. Adult Swim Yule Log 2, : branching out.
Okay.
Electric Boogaloo.
Isn't that funny how that's stayed with us since the 80s?
Because
it was such a stupid name.
Yeah, it did a lot better than the actual movie.
Yes.
That term has outlasted the movie.
Yeah.
I was just so glad that you finally addressed the clumsy hunk syndrome. Because
is everybody blind in that town or what?
Yeah, I guess we can do spoilers and very broadly describe it for Tim. It's, Zoe survives the first movie and tries to get the hell out of Dodge, which is what any reasonable person would do. But it has a car accident and ends up in a Hallmark town, like a Hallmark Christmas town called Mistletoe. And things almost become a Hallmark movie for a while. So we play around with that genre for a while, which was a lot of fun. And I was kind of partly inspired by, you know, doing a sequel, how Aliens said, I'm not going to try to outdo claustrophobic horror. We're going to make it an action movie, you know. So Alien is horror, and then Aliens is action movie. So I kind of shifted a little in genre, a little bit.
Yeah, it's a hilarious parody of those Hallmark movies.
Seeing that most of those are filmed here now, did you have the ability to use some of that in your production?
No, I wish. The ones we know about, a lot of them are shot up in Toronto. But, you know, which is like America, but cleaner and more ideal, which is perfect for a Hallmark movie. But Cartersville looked great. I thought it fit the bill. And we had even investigated for a while of like trying to use the same production companies that do those movies. But we worked very fast. Like the whole from beginning to end on this movie was maybe 7 months, which is fast.
And now Netflix is getting into the game with the Lindsay Lohan Christmas movie.
Yeah, I watched those. A lot of the Falling for Christmas was one of the reference points, as was A California Christmas, where a rich guy gets works on a ranch to try to persuade the widowed ranch owner to sell her land. Spoiler, they fall in love. And then they do the dead widow's dream of building a winery there. I just spoiled the whole movie for you.
You really did. I was going to watch it.
But those movies do, they do make you feel good. Like, I like them. I admit it. I get into them and enjoy them, and I get a warm, fuzzy feeling. Like, I know it's sort of you're laughing a little bit at it at the same time, but I enjoy it. I sincerely enjoy it. Not ironically. Does anybody going to agree with me there? Everyone, all of you are like, you're crazy. No.
I like you. I like your take on it.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm sure none of those movies have anybody with characters with cool names like Bert Descartes. The whole family.
Yeah, yes. The whole family have great names.
Our family, yes.
I like what you said to Deadline, that you're going to do 31 interconnected versions of your movie.
Yes. And here's a exclusive scoop for you guys, is I wanted to do 31 movies, parentheses, more than James Bond. I wanted to beat James Bond. Because I think they're at 28. So if I work very fast.
Yes.
I think that's the biggest, that's the most installments of a franchise. I wanted to be number one for a while. Wouldn't that be fun?
Oh, yeah.
My franchise has the most sequels.
Will we get an origin story, like when he's just like a little limb or something? I mean,
well, when you got 31, I think you're going to get a little bit. Yeah. Yeah, you got a canvas of 62 hours. Get a lot,
and you've got plenty parts of the tree. You know, you got,
that's right. You get other types of trees, oaks, elms. You know, there's a bunch of options here.
I was going to ask that it seems that there's a million different streaming services now, but to still be connected and work with Adult Swim and to get them to help you produce something like this must be pretty cool in this day and age. And
yeah, it's awesome. The first one I did under Mike Lazo and Walter Newman, who were wonderful, and Keith Crawford. And now Mike retired, and now it's Michael Olean, and who runs Adult Swim, who's awesome, and Cam Tang, who's head of development. Fantastic. And I'm still working with Melissa Warrenberg, who you know from Squidbillies, who is my rock, and I love her. So yeah, it is wonderful to have that relationship and friendships with them for all this time, and it's been heaven. It's been great. I've enjoyed every minute of it, so I have not taken it for granted.
But have you ever washed Michael Olean's hair?
Have I ever washed his hair? Yeah. Oh, you mean it like a bathing with Bierko scenario?
Oh, in a salon with his head in the bowl with soap on it. I have.
You have? What? Yeah. Tell me more.
Well, he used to get his hair cut at this place where I worked in Cabbage Town while I was underemployed in radio. So this
you've
was
washed his hair?
Yeah, a couple times, I think.
Oh, yes. Hell yeah. What's the... Oh, are you going to dox yourself if you tell me the place?
No, I don't care. It's still called Mary Todd Hairdressing, and it's in Cabbage Town.
Okay.
On Carroll Street.
How is his hair? Do you have a scoop for us? Is it a fine head of hair? Is it thick? Is it fine? What is it?
It was luxurious and thin and very easy to touch. He didn't seem to have any scalp problems. So... It all worked out. And then my friends who worked there goes, hey, that's your buddy from Adult Swim. You should talk to him. Like, I'm not going to talk to him. I'm working at
it. Yeah, you should pitch him a show. So anyway, I got enough.
Yeah.
Did you do the cutting too, or were you strictly the washing man? Were you cutting?
No, I was just cutting. Washing. I was a shop assistant, so I would get the soap on there and then do the head massage when the conditioner was on there, you know, do the temple rub and towel off and take him over to his seat where his hairdresser would cut his hair.
I think I would like that more because you're caring for someone, but you don't have the pressure of cutting their hair and fucking up, you know. You're just doing the nice part. They're feeling good. They're getting relaxed. I like it.
It was a fun job. That's a cool
thing. Are they hiring?
Reach out. I know people there, yeah.
I want to know what the inspiration was behind shrimp fudge. The most disgusting two things I've ever heard of put together.
It was partly from a California Christmas where someone had died and their dream had been to turn the ranch into a winery. So I thought it'd be good to have a dream, unfulfilled dream. For some reason, I came up with shrimp fudge. But I did think that it was sort of, I didn't think of this until after the fact. It's sort of a fun parallel to the movie itself where it's trying to combine two things that may not go together, like horror and Hallmark, you know? So it's sort of a microcosm of that. But we should try it. Let's make it.
Oh, God, yeah. No. Nice. When they were showing them making it, when I was seeing the shrimps in the chocolate and they were doing the, I was gagging.
There's got to be some of this that'll surprise me when I watch it this weekend. So,
yeah, I think there's still. Yeah, we'll stop spoiling it for you.
Can I watch it with my 3-year-old?
Yeah, you could probably skate through with that. They probably won't. It'll probably wash over them.
Shrimp fudge scene. I just would just watch shrimp fudge and that's it.
Yeah,
that's the only part that's wholesome.
He does like Aqua Teen Hunger Force, and his favorite character is Meatwad because he likes the way that Meatwad talks. And also, he goes, Daddy, that's a meatball.
That's awesome. All right, yeah, you're raising your Adult Swim fan, right?
Yeah,
early and yeah.
Well, I just want to ask one last question: the Splinter Tree Monster, was that inspired by The Thing at all? Because that's what it reminded me of. Especially.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, okay. And also just yes, and but also just I think you've had him on, Shane Morton.
Yeah,
he's a treasure. He's here in Atlanta, and he likes, and his team of like Kyle Yaclin, and they just love to go for it. And so I tried to push him. I tried to think of the craziest shit I could, and then they achieved it.
And so, was that Ben Bladen in the suit?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Great. Ben.
He's also been on the podcast.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Ben's awesome too. Yeah, we got a community here, and I love it.
Jeff, ask your question that you have that we haven't asked yet.
Oh, William Tokarski. Yeah, he said that Too Many Cooks 2 was going to start shooting soon.
Is that right? He said that.
not to us.
I haven't heard that, but I my phone is open. I would love to do that. I'm in. But can we do it as a feature this time?
Yeah. That would be great.
Do that. Yeah.
Maybe if you need some podcasters to be murdered, we're standing by.
Oh, please kill me. Kill me, Casper. I would love it.
Oh, hey, I'm not lying. You're in. I will do that. I will happily do that.
Oh, please make it disgusting. I want to be murdered in the worst way possible.
Well, if we do it right, Stephanie, this will be fun. We'll if we demolish your head, we'll have to do a cast of your head. And then it says a souvenir, you can have a mold and a cast of your head to crack anyone out.
Nice.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
Well, Casper, I know you got more to do tonight. I like a guy who does media at night. That gives you the whole day to just relax.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was nervous all day. I hope I didn't muff it. I just was in my head rehearsing what I was going to say all day. But hopefully I didn't.
But plug everything before you go.
Please.
Yule Log 2, did it run on Adult Swim before it went to HBO?
Yes, it ran on Adult Swim. It's currently on Max. Adult Swim Yule Log 2, branching out. It's also with the Adult Swim Yule Log, the first one. They're both on Max. And Adult Swim Yule Log came out on Blu-ray with Vinegar Syndrome, which you can go to vinegarsyndrome.com. Decanalog is the sub-label. And I'm sure it's on Amazon, too. And I'm working as hard as I can on other projects. We'll see which one gets made first. But one with the voice of Meatwad, Dave Willis. Cool. We're working on something with Netflix, and that's exciting. So we'll see.
Ooh,
in this, awesome. These uncertain times, what happens and what doesn't. But knock on wood, I'll have more stuff coming at you soon. And at the very least, I want to be on again to talk about it, but we need to go back to that brewery.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I can't wait for Yule Log 3. Stick it to them.
That's a good title. Do I have to pay you if I use that?
No. The payment will be that you used it.
The payment will be I'll demolish your head as an extra.
Please.
Yeah.
Have your intestines fly out or something.
Yes. That's exactly what I want.
And then we could sell Steph Head merch.
Yeah.
Once we get that mold.
That's a good idea.
Casper, thanks for coming on, and enjoy the rest of the year. Happy holidays, whatever you celebrate, and hopefully we can do that thing in January.
Yes,
Tucker
Thank
Brewing.
Thank you guys so much, my friends. You've supported me all these years. I appreciate it so much. Have a great holiday, and yes, let's hang out in the new year and scheme and plan for what we're gonna do in 2025.
Yeah.
Trailers and trends with Steph.
All right, Steph, let's do some news and shit and stuff.
Okay, well, I don't know who all got nominated for Golden Globes, but the nominations are out, and I saw this thing about these are just like the snubs and surprises.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to see what your all's opinions on these. I don't know, did you watch Pachinko? I didn't.
I've played Pachinko.
It wasn't broken all the time. You had to send it to fucking Japan to get it fixed.
Yeah, he had a pachinko machine in his living room on by their fireplace, and I always wanted to play it, but anytime I tried, it was broken.
I thought that was a Price is Right game.
No, that's Plinko.
Well, they made one. Yeah, Plinko, like it.
I did watch season one of Pachinko. I haven't got to season two yet. It's very slow burn, but it's really good.
Well, they're saying that one of the dudes got snubbed on that, the Minji, what is his name? Lee Min Ho. They're saying he got snubbed, that he should have got nominated. And they're not called the Hollywood Foreign Press Association anymore. Now they're the Golden Globe Foundation.
Yeah,
I know. But another surprise, though, was Margaret Qualley from The Substance. She got nominated, so people were surprised about that. Who got snubbed? Some bullshit. Walton Goggins got snubbed for Fallout, which I'm completely shocked.
Are you buying those Walton Goggins goggle glasses? Those are real, you know.
How much are those?
I think they're like $100
Yeah, they're like $100 to $150
What are those?
Yeah, he made glasses. They're like, they look like ski goggle lenses, like those.
Oh, they look like Oakleys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He looks cool in them. I don't know who else would.
Nobody. No one else would look cool. Yeah.
He can pull it off.
I like this, the ad slogan, strap in, look out. Who else got snubbed?
Oh, well, I thought this was, they say that Niecy Nash Betts got snubbed for Grotesquerie, but I watched that and it was horrible. And she's been such a better actress in other things, so I don't know what the hell they're talking about. And Danielle Deadwyler from The Piano Lesson. A lot of this is crap that we never watched.
Yeah, a bunch of stuff I've never heard of.
The only big snub that I saw in here that we would care about would be Walton Goggins.
Anyway,
there's
too many shows. There's way too many shows now, so it's got to be more difficult to pick something.
I would imagine so. I'm sure Margaret Qualley deserves it. I haven't seen The Substance yet, but Dustin, you could speak to that. I'm sure you think she probably deserved it.
Oh, everyone done a great job in that movie. I'm surprised they didn't get one for that.
Well,
Nikki Glaser's going to host the ceremony, and she's promised to not hold back.
Oh, that ought to be interesting.
So she's going to roast everybody, I think.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, The Substance is pretty parallel to what Nikki's doing to herself right now.
Yeah, it's starting to look that way.
Yeah, it is.
You start seeing a really young, nice-looking version of her start running around, you know.
Well, you know, poor old Alex Jones from the InfoWars with his bankruptcy and whatnot.
Why? How can they block somebody from buying it?
Because the way they did it. Tell them how they did it. They didn't have a real auction. They did it so they could have a favorable outcome. And you can't do that shit when you're auctioning things.
Yeah. Even if you're trying to do it for what you consider to be a moral purpose. I mean, I like The Onion. They have funny headlines. But, you know, their whole goal into buying his InfoWars thing was that they could turn it around and use the internet for good to spread, you know, not information about that school shootings didn't happen and whatnot. Yeah.
It seemed like a nice knee-jerk reaction to it being available, but they probably should have went about buying it a more legal way.
Yeah.
They didn't have real bidding. If they had real bidding, what they tried to prevent was, now I don't even know if this is true, was somebody like Elon Musk, who was sympathetic to Alex Jones, buying it and owning it and letting him work there.
Yeah.
They didn't want that to happen.
Well, Alex is still going.
Yeah, he is.
For now. He's still running it. So,
and one of the things Alex is going to be working with me on Doge with Vivek Ramaswamy, and we're going to have a beeline to President Trump, and so, you know, give Trump a super beta prostate. That'd be good. That'd be good for him.
Well, did you see whenever Michigan beat Ohio State about a week ago, and Michigan? They went out and planted their flag in the middle of Ohio State's field, and it turned into a melee.
A flag.
There was pepper spray. There was the cops breaking it up. It was nuts. So some Ohio lawmaker has introduced the OHIO Sportsmanship Act to make it a felony to plant a flag in Ohio Stadium that is not Ohio. Well, everybody's saying, how soft are you that you're trying to make it a law that people can't put another school's flag? And I guess last week there was a bunch of flag shit going on at all these colleges. A lot of fights happening because people are planting flags into other, which they said this is not going to go through. And Barstool says that the guy, this lawmaker, Josh, whatever his name is, he actually is a secret Michigan fan. And he's doing this to troll Ohio people.
Even though
he's an Ohio lawmaker. So anyway, I just thought that was retarded. I mean, dumb. I mean, I thought it was foolish. You know, Jay-Z this week, of course, he got named in one of the lawsuits and one of the Diddy Diddlers took part in essaying a 13-year-old while Diddy watched. after the MTV Movie Awards back in the early 2000s. And Jay-Z tried to say that this was just an extortion plot. And then the attorney for the woman who was suing shut his whole blackmail allegations down and said that they tried to do this secretly and privately. And Jay-Z is the one who has made this into a big thing. And they promise that they have proof that this really happened. So,
excuse me, sir. Sir, all these big deviants are catching hell in 2024. It's up for all of them. It don't matter if you're Diddy or whoever. All lies will be exposed.
Said Cat Williams in early 2024, so maybe he was right. Didn't there allegations that Jay-Z started grooming Beyonce when she was 16 years old? And then there's another person who says Jay-Z's my dad, and if so, the girl would have been 16 when she had the kid that alleges that Jay-Z is his dad. So there's a lot of weird stuff going on.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
I said a lot of weird stuff. I didn't say anything.
and this is the mystery other person that's bigger than Diddy. You know, so this is the answer to that. And what I took too was that lawyer was saying that since the allegations came out on Diddy, he has had his legal team barraged constantly by Jay-Z's people. And
under pseudonyms, and not even using his real name. He called himself John Doe when he sued the attorney.
Right. So he's been trying to sue him since this came out. So if that doesn't feel like, you know, show that he's been trying to cover it up before it blew up and not just now saying, oh, it wasn't me, that's a little obvious.
Yeah, there's been sightings of Beyonce at divorce lawyer offices. Really? Yes, there's been sightings of that and so on and so forth. And she looks like she's like on 50 Xanax right now, just trying to get through all this. So I don't know. And 50 Cent said something that was, he goes, I do feel sorry for his kids. You know, like Jay-Z said, his daughter, who is 13, because that girl that supposedly he essayed was 13.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway,
how the hell was I supposed to know she was only 13?
Well, when I was essaying her, you know, I only essay women who are at least 18. So,
yeah.
Well, our folk hero, Luigi Mangione.
What do you mean our? Yes, he is. He is a folk hero now. There will be ballads written about this murdering cretin.
Oh, come on, Tim. Let's not be so harsh here about what he did and. He did murder somebody. They murder thousands of people every day by denying coverage on people. So
that's a problem. Rich kid, what's he doing to McDonald's?
And that little narc. They're not even going to get this reward.
They're not going to get the reward money?
No, because they called the wrong number. They called the wrong number. They didn't call Crime Stoppers. They called the other number. So that makes it like null and void. And the money that the feds were offering, it's up to their discretion if they give it to them. And they can also give a portion of it to the agent who was in charge of the case. So this little McDonald's person who probably doesn't have health care coverage is probably not going to get anything for being a snitch. But anyway.
Yeah, put the fries in the bag and shut up.
Was it an old lady? Was it the old lady or was it an old guy?
Well, it was a patron who noticed it was him. And the patron went to the McDonald's employee and told them that, I think that's that guy, call the police.
Why didn't the guy have a phone on him? Who doesn't have a phone in 2024?
He looked like he was 80.
Well, even 80-year-olds. My dad has a phone. He's 79.
Well, either way,
maybe he doesn't have a kid that loves him as much as you do, Tim.
Get my dad the phone.
So go sit your old ass down and don't worry about it. How about that?
You wanted the money.
Let him have his biscuit. Well, he didn't get shit. And now, you know, everybody trolled McDonald's. They were giving them all 1-star reviews and saying all kinds of crazy stuff on there. And Google went through and removed all of McDonald's 1-star reviews due to this, saying that they were not valid. Yeah, but Google can suck it because they do the same crap. I've reported reviews that they've done on our business that were stupid, ridiculous, also that violate their whatever. It takes forever to get a review removed. Forever. I have to email and email and email and email. And you have to just bug them constantly. But because it's McDonald's, they took them all down. So I don't care what anybody says about this kid and about how it was cowardly or whatever. It's cowardly what they do, that they use AI to deny your claims. Like, they don't even have anybody reviewing this shit.
I'm glad he can't fuck. His back is so messed up, he can't fuck. He's only going to be able to receive in jail.
He ain't receiving nothing but accolades.
And he can, and he's amazing at being able to grow a unibrow in 24 hours.
Yeah. He to get him here, unibrow.
Oh no! When he was arrested, he had one. When he showed that picture of the shot from the camera,
he didn't have any.
He didn't have any unibrow. Yeah. How do you?
All I got to say right now is Google his name and then the number 286. There's all sorts of weird shit going on with this. It's like all of his early tweets just say random tweet and then some 5-digit number and then random tweet, 5-digit number, a different one. It's weird. Something weird is going on.
Oh, do you think this is like the fiddler on the roof that shot Trump?
I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying that.
Hey, what's with all these crazies in Pennsylvania?
How about, that guy's not from, yeah, he is from. Why can they find this guy in 10 minutes, but they shot this dude and then they didn't find anything about him? Nothing came out about the guy that shot Trump. Nothing.
You can't find anything about him.
Or pew-pewed Trump. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, have we seen him since? Where is he?
Well, he died on the roof.
No, he was cremated before, you know, within a week.
They go to his house. The house is wiped clean. And if you listen to Rogan, Rogan says, oh, they took all of his silverware. That's fucked up. I don't know. Maybe that was real silver. I don't know. It's just that guy got, you know, brushed aside as quick as possible. And this sexy, you know, chiseled chest guy who can't get an erection anymore because his back is messed up.
Well, I can't wait for the movie where Timothy Chalamet plays him.
And I have to wear fake eyebrows.
Well, you know, I hate this movie, but Judy Garland's ruby slippers from The Wizard of Oz were just auctioned off for $28 million. And I can't understand why anybody would pay $28 million for any movie prop.
What's funny is the reason they got auctioned off is because they were stolen like 20 years ago.
Yeah, and the FBI recovered them.
They just recovered them from the guy. Yeah, he thought he could sell them. They were actually damaged a bit because he thought they were real rubies when he stole them.
Oh shit! They weren't ruby slippers in the book either. They were silver slippers.
Yeah,
but MGM wanted to be, because it was going to be the first colored movie. They wanted to do something dazzling, so they made them. They decided to make them ruby.
Well, Jeremy Allen White, the Bear, is going to be Jabba the Hutt's son.
He's no Hutt.
In the, he's just going to be like behind. He's just going to be screaming that the whole time in the Star Wars film, The Mandalorian and Grogu.
So is he going to be CGI and just do the voice?
The voice, yeah.
Yeah. And what's his character? The character's name is something else. The Hutt. Rada the Hutt.
Rada the Hutt. Yeah.
Yeah. Jabba's son is Rada.
So why aren't they doing another series and just doing a movie? Because their cinematic universe is like in the shitter. Is that why?
Well, this will be the amalgam of all those shows that came out in the last 5 years. Because they all had sharing storylines. Yeah. This kind of puts them all together.
All right.
Oh, I look forward to him voicing it. Because, I mean, he does have a very distinctive voice. And he's a great actor. So I think he'll definitely add something to it.
Yeah.
That'll get me to go to a theater to see a Star Wars movie.
And my last little story, Andrew Schultz, apparently he made some joke about black women, but I mean, like, he makes jokes about everybody. And I think Kendrick Lamar, he took umbrage with it and he addressed him in one of his songs.
Oh, he wrote a diss track?
Sort of. Not really. It wasn't a diss track towards Andrew Schultz. He was just, he included a little barb at him in one of his songs. So Andrew decided to hit back and say that, you know, he would put Kendrick on his lap and feed him a bottle. And he basically said that he would SA Kendrick. So a lot of people got pissed about this. Andrew Schultz has gotten death threats over it and everything else. Well, Charlamagne the God has come to his defense and he said that, you know, comedians should be allowed to make jokes. Everybody is fair game to get over it.
Charlamagne the God is like to radio now what Howard Stern was 30 years ago with that wielding influence.
That's a fair assessment.
Funny, but I think he's like Stern's show was funny and subversive and stuff, but he has that reach. He has that morning radio reach that Stern once had and no longer has, because no one really has that now outside of
Mark Arum has it.
Yeah, well, in Atlanta and parts outside of the city that the AM signal hits. Yes, of course, Mark Arum does. And so does Shelley Winter and the Von Hessler Doctrine and Eric Erickson. But I'm saying that nationwide, you know, he has that. And it's nice to see that a guy like Charlemagne the God is doing well in radio, because that means it's still viable for now. But it's everybody that's listening to podcasts, and that's all Rogan and all that jazz. Thank you, Steph.
You're welcome.
Hello, America. I'm Casey Kasem. And this week, we travel back to December of 1996. The number one song in the country was Tony Braxton's Unbreak My Heart. The number one movie, 101 Dalmatians. And the number one television show, ER. I loved ER. 5 years after its series finale, a movie version of Dallas entitled Dallas, JR Returns, is broadcast by CBS this week on the 15th of December. And then it came back later on TNT, and then Larry Hagman died, and then it got canceled. And happy heavenly birthday to Joseph Callinger, also known as the Cobbler Killer. Joseph was an American serial killer who murdered 3 people and tortured 4 families with his 12-year-old son, Michael. In November of 1974, Callinger and his 12-year-old son, Michael, went on a crime spree spanning Philadelphia, Baltimore, and New Jersey. They robbed, assaulted, and SA'd 4 entire families, gaining entrance to each house by pretending to be a salesman. Willie Lauman, they are not. Paper Moon 2, anyone? Starring Willem Dafoe and the de-aged CGI Macaulay Culkin. And now, on with the countdown.
Oh, yes. In the podcast universe, Jeff just told us that Kylie Kelce is now the number one podcast. Now, there's so many metrics. There was something last week that there's some stupid podcast that sounds boring and NPR-ish that's supposedly the number one on iTunes. But when you measure these, you have to take iTunes, Spotify, everything else, and YouTube and put it all together. So I don't know what those metrics are, but I would say that probably Rogan, maybe even Marin, are in the top 5 for sure. But what do I know? I only listened to audiobook this week. Although I did listen in the podcast universe, Quentin Tarantino and Roger Avery are together on the most recent Joe Rogan Experience, where they tell a story about doing heroin. Or Roger Avery tells a story about doing heroin in France, and that led to an idea for one of his movies. Tim Dillon nailed it over the weekend.
Oh, God, yeah.
What was that quote, Steph?
Oh, that song that he sang?
Yes.
Have some coffee and kill. It was all about how Luigi went to Starbucks before he did his shootings.
Have some coffee and kill. And Dungeon Crawler Carl and Jeff and Dustin have been talking about it. First, Dustin. And I downloaded it the other day and started listening. I was hooked right away. It's one of the best narrated and funniest audiobooks I think I've ever listened to. It's just so good. The characters are great. The guy's awesome.
We'd like to get that guy on here sometime.
I'm trying.
Dustin's working on it.
Yeah.
This is the first book?
Have I? No, I'm not.
No, okay. I finished the first book. I'm waiting to start the second one after I listen to Selfies.
I listened to The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler. They had Bobby Moynihan on. And just talked about a lot of, he always talks about people's childhood. Mm-hmm. And Moynihan had some funny stories, but it's worth a listen. All of the Honeydew podcasts are great. Usually when people really relax with him, with Ryan Sickler.
I love Bobby Moynihan too.
Oh yeah.
I just listened to Elle Fanning on Conan. She's in that new Bob Dylan movie, the Timothy Chalamet one.
Can I tell you that I blew a chance to go sit down and meet Timothy?
Yeah, I saw he was here. Rodney Ho, I think, went.
Yeah, I got invited to go to the screening. And in the middle of the screening, some people were invited to leave and do a round table, but I didn't have any equipment to record it. So I just didn't go. So now I'm going to go see it on Christmas. Anyway, that's my little interlude.
Oh, I started listening to Kyle Mooney on Fly on the Wall. It just came out today. I haven't got too far into it, but I like him.
Is he still on SNL?
No.
I just listened to all my usual murder crap. And this week's kill list was really good. Crazy story.
My boss has this weird... And my boss at the radio station thinks that all women do is listen to murder podcasts and watch murder porn. And I have to say, well, it's not all women, but I know someone who really likes.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that, by the way.
I mean, it just intrigues me. And I don't know.
It keeps you from stabbing.
That's what I was going to say. I'd rather you watch it than do it.
Yeah.
It does keep me from stabbing. And I think that what your boss doesn't understand that women are always the victims, almost always. So that's why we're interested in it, because you motherfuckers are trying to kill us all the time. And every time you can't have us, or we want to be with somebody else, or blah, blah, blah,
You'll be ready when we come for you.
That's what I'm saying. That's right. Why we watch it.
Preparedness. Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. We're looking for the signs. The signs when you're going to turn.
Hey, if you're in Conyers and you're hungry, or if you're in any part of the area near Conyers, Georgia, which is right outside of Atlanta, Georgia, and you're hungry and you want some really good pizza or gyros, why not check out Atlanta Pizza and Gyro? They've proudly been serving the East Metro Atlanta area for over 40 years. They're a great place to be this winter. And Atlanta Pizza and Gyro is ready for the holiday season. Now, no need to break traffic laws and smuggle it in from Texas, you bandits. Stop by AP&G and get $3.50 Coors Banquet stubby bottles and more. They've got the best gyros, pizzas and hot subs, and Greek and Italian specialties around. Stop by Monday through Friday, 11 to 9 p.m. And on Saturday from noon to 9 p.m. They are closed on Sundays. Tuesday nights, they have team trivia from 7 to 8:30. Bring your smartest friends and test your trivia knowledge against the best Conyers has to offer. And if it's just like Dustin, for example, you have a good chance of winning.
Or wash my hair with their house dressing.
Or you put one of those caps on so it really soaks into your scalp.
Exactly. And then whatever drips out in the night makes like a lovely little 2 a.m. snack.
By the way, their food truck is on blocks until the end.
Oh, no.
No, for the winter. I'm sorry.
Oh, for the winter season?
Yeah. All right. Hey, do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Well, what are you waiting for? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They've been in Athens, Georgia since 2005 with fast turnaround and affordable prices. Call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com.
Guys, are you reading the online comments?
Gotta read some of these comments.
I'm loving your guys' comments.
You're reading your own comments?
Yeah, they're really good. I worked hard on them.
The secret is, don't read the comment cards.
All right, let's read some YouTube comments. If you're watching this video on YouTube, you can always leave a comment down below, and we'll read it. How about that? This week, we have comments from Brett Perkins, who says, Happy holidays, all Radio Labyrinth fans. Thanks to Radio Labyrinth and the entertainment you give us, you are the entertainment tonight of these days.
You got to pay John Tesh now, Steph.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Isn't he dead? I don't have to pay him.
He wrote that song, though.
Terry Fuller says, Tim's shirt is top tier. I forgot what shirt I wore last week.
Grateful
Bills,
Dead shirt.
Yeah, the Bills. The Rich Stadium Dead Show.
That's right. Oh, by the way, nice job on the I Told That Story Before video. Square Dance Callers Talking says, I grew up in Savannah, Georgia, spent a lot of days and even more nights on Tybee Island. Spot on, Tim. All the food in the bars tastes the same. It's awesome, but it is the same. And Kevin Jackson, now I don't know how to take this one. Kevin Jackson says, I spend way too much time online. I know this because I've begun thinking in memes. I can relate to that very much. For example, I'm halfway through Selfies, parentheses, great sci-fi with Minority Report vibes, close parentheses, and with the great narration every time Tim Andrews does the lead female character's voice, Skeletor unzipping his pants with a sigh joke. I don't really know how to interpret. I don't know how to take that.
I think Kevin Jackson wants you to give him a call on the phone using that voice is what I think.
I'm not going to do that. I do like it. I shared it with my cousin, and he said, is that a good review? And I said, yes. Everybody check out Selfies. by Scott A. Young. You can buy
it. I just downloaded it.
And you can listen to the audiobook on Audible. There you go. Dustin put up a couple of polls. These are our official Radio Labyrinth polls. What's your go-to comedy club order? Because we were reviewing the new comedy club. Jeff and I went to Helium last week. Let's see. Just Drinks came in at 63%. Fries got a 0. Nachos got 25%. And coming in third place, Chicken Fingers.
Brian Silverbacks must have voted.
Why?
For the nachos.
All he eats is nachos. Oh,
yeah. which alien scenario would you believe most as far as the government revealing or us having contact? This one was a close one. None of the above. Aliens aren't real. 19%. There was a tie for second place. Joe Rogan breaks the news and UFO spotted worldwide, 25%. And AI confirms alien signals at 31%. That tracks. All right, let's take a break and we'll be right back.
His views.
And snooze.
Snooze.
And we're back.
We are back. And it's time for views or snooze.
Yeah, last week was Beatles 64. I started watching it. It's black and white. It's kind of, it's really good, but it didn't hold my attention for long. I was like looking at my phone the whole time. So I shut it off. I'm like, I'm going to watch it when I can pay more attention.
Yeah, this one's made for people that aren't really super into the Beatles or have just discovered the Beatles, because there's always new people discovering them. Unlike Peter Jackson's, which was for diehards.
Yeah, and Yacht Rock, which we all talked about last week, and Skeleton Crew, episode 3 was really good. I'm so into it. I love that little elephant kid.
Cool.
It's really good, man. I think you'd like it if you watched it, but you won't. Anyway, This week, Bookie comes back for season 2.
Cool.
Definitely watch that. I love Bookie.
Yeah, me too.
I just saw him on one of those cake shows.
Yeah, I'm sure he's a cake. He was a judge on there.
Yeah, he's so funny. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, this movie called No Good Deed. It's a dark comedy from the creator of Dead Like Me, or Dead to Me.
Yes.
Ray Romano and Lisa Kudrow play these people. They're trying to buy a house. It's like $1 million house in Los
Angeles. I'm definitely going to watch that.
Oh, yeah, no,
I'm
going to watch Deborah. That too. No.
it's a views from me. And then Dexter Original Sin, which we also talked about a little bit last week. That starts this week. To views.
I'm almost done with season 8. I'm like in the middle of season 8. I don't hate it as much. I don't hate it as much this time. I really don't. I'm kind of into it.
By the guy playing
Young Dexter.
Well, the guy, everybody sort of looks like their characters. David Zayas's character Batista, he's not playing him in the prequel, but the guy looks and sounds just like him. So, good job on the casting for that. I'm totally into that.
Does he say Moia?
Yeah.
He can't pronounce his O's either.
Moia Agueta.
Oh yeah, I hate it when she calls him Angle.
Yeah.
Angel. Nobody else calls him that shit.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Let's do our staff pick. My staff pick this week is nothing new, but it is new to me. It is SCTV's It's a Wonderful Film. This comes from season 6 that ran on Cinemax. NBC canceled SCTV in 1982 or 1983 to show Friday Night Videos. Who was in charge of late night at that time would have been Dick Ebersol. And that was a smart decision because, you know, not a lot of people had MTV at the time. And, you know, they wanted to get in on all that action. But anyway, they ran it on Cinemax in the United States. And you can watch part 1 and part 2. It's a mashup of all of the classics. And I can't wait to watch it. If you like SCTV in that era, you should dig it.
And what's it on?
YouTube.
Okay.
I'm sure you could find it elsewhere, but I found it on YouTube, and that's where I'm going to watch it.
Did anybody watch The Simpsons Monday Night Game on Disney Plus?
No.
It was just really weird. They had, like, all the animated characters doing the game.
I saw clips of it. Like, Homer was throwing touchdown passes. Yeah,
Bart catching touchdowns and stuff. It was weird. But anyway, I saw a commercial for the Simpsons "O Come All Ye Faithful," which comes out on the 17th. It's a Simpsons holiday special. That's my snap pick.
Cool.
Oh, I watched on Hulu. There's a movie called "Out of Darkness." It's set in 40,000 years in the past, but it's really cool. They travel to another land, and when they get there, something starts picking them off one at a time, and they can't figure out what it is. So it's kind of a creature feature meets historical, you know, historical type movie, but it's unique. I had never seen anything like it.
I forgot I wanted to mention that Secret Level from the people that made Love, Death, and Robots on Amazon. I've watched about six of them. They're all really great. There's like these short little animated shows based on, I guess, video games.
Yeah, different types of animation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
They're all really good.
My pick is a documentary. It's called Casa Bonita, Mi Amor.
Yeah.
And it was so good. Have you guys watched it?
No, I want to, though.
It's excellent. Good. It's so good. You know, it's like Matt and Trey, they bought Casa Bonita after it fell into disrepair. And what they thought was going to be, I don't know, like a $12 million thing ended up being, I'm not even going to spoil it for you how many millions that they ended up having to sink into this thing, but they completely remodeled this thing. And like from tearing down the fountain out front, the pool, all of the shit that they run into. And obviously it's riddled with their humor. It's so funny. And now I'm dying to freaking go. I'm dying to go to Casa Bonita.
You know how long you have to wait to get in?
No.
On the list to get in
there? Like 2 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they said that there were, since they've reopened into 2023, they've had 400,000 people come through there.
Yeah. We're never going to be able to go. My wife wants to go.
She wants to go so bad.
She keeps sending me, like, when are you going to get on the list? I said, I don't know.
Well, the cool part is they don't have to break even.
Right.
Even though they will, it may take them a long time, but they will eventually.
Well, they're not happy about it every time they come back to him and tell him how much more it's going to be, especially Matt, because this was not his childhood dream.
Right.
This is Trey's childhood dream. Matt didn't really give a crap about it. He just did it because Trey wanted to, and so he went in on it, and then it's like, oh, my God. But you guys have to watch it. You will love it. It's just like a big hug. It's one of the best documentaries. It's on Max. It's one of the best documentaries I've seen in a while.
I'll check it out. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. A couple of plugs here. I do a radio show on WSB every Saturday. Who knows what it airs during football and basketball season. But you can find a podcast version. The name of the show is The Popcast. And my guests this week include Lonnie Jordan and Jerry Goldstein. Jerry Goldstein conceived of the group War and has been their longtime manager and producer. Lonnie Jordan is the lead vocalist, keyboardist, and an original member of the band War. You guys know War. Why can't we be friends in Low Rider? Why they're coming on is they have a new song out called Yes, It's Christmas, and I'll be playing that on the show and talking with them about it on the show. And my son Gilbert loves that song, Low Rider, because there's a music video for it and there's a lot of cars in it. Look, Daddy, they're bouncing.
Yeah, you guys can watch Up and Smoke. And then just turn it off after the first 5 minutes.
Right?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Well, he won't know what's going on anyway. They're smoking. Hey, everybody, if you're watching, like we said earlier, this video, leave a comment down below. Tell us what you think or weigh in on anything. Make sure you're liking and subscribing and turn on that little notification because that's awesome. Hey, if you're one of those people that says, you know, I like this video and everything, but I don't always have time to sit down and watch, you can take it on the go. Oh, actually, just put your headphones in and walk around, listen to it. But we're on all the audio only platforms. A way to support us is to join our Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews and subscribe at any level. At any level, you'll get an access to our super secret Patreon only show, Radios When the Lights Are Out. And that comes out every Wednesday. Like when I get home tonight, I'll post today's. You just any level, $1 to $1 million. And if we had $1 million sponsor, we'd be not doing the show anymore. I don't know what we're doing. I'm getting tired. But at the $25 level, you become a producer. So if you come in and you do $25 a month, that makes you a producer. You get credit every week for supporting us. You also get to choose a t-shirt from our online merch store. And I will do a doodle for you, a drawing. And, you know, you just say, hey, Tim, I'd like to see some of your doodles. You know, I'll whip them out for you.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
And send them to you. Yeah, so that's cool, right? Hey, man. Again, that's patreon.com/Tim Andrews. And I want to thank our executive producers right now. John Allen, Matt Carter, Chris Chandler, Mike D, Jim Fortner, Terry Fuller, Roby Neely, Jeff Peterson, Tim Slayton, and Brian and DJ Chelsea Smith. And that's all I got for this week, unless you folks have something that you'd like to.
Well, speaking of our Patreons, I went out to longtime listeners, Tim Allen and Amy Allen. Such a fun couple. They've always come out to our live events, and they're the coolest. I went out to Monticello to their cabin in the woods.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I sure did last Sunday, and I rode four-wheelers, and I had a blast, and I crashed into a tree. It was great.
It was super cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, he's like, you know, he's got his daughter on the back of his, and he's like, all right, now we're going to go down this creek. Now put it in four-wheel drive. So I put it, and I'm like, oh, shit, I'm going to die. And we go down into the creek, and then he's like, well, then we could possibly go up. And I'm like, no, I'm not tempting fate. And then on the way back, I got a little too comfortable. So I started going fast, and then, bam, slammed into a tree. And luckily, I was okay. But I just wanted to show you these cool things. I have a painting that Amy did that I already have hanging in my living room, but look what they gave me.
Oh, wow.
Can you see it?
No, what is it?
What? Damn it. Piece of shit. Well, you can't.
Turn your background off.
Anyway, see it?
There you go.
It's Killer Mike.
Oh, that is cool. Yeah.
It's Killer Mike and it's LP from Run the Jewels.
Nice.
So I was very excited about that. So thank you guys.
You guys are awesome. That's so cool. All right. Until next week. Please remember to
keep it canon.
Well, they say all good things come to an end.
What's that got to do with this show?
Lost in the radio.